So good morning to all our listeners around the world, wherever you may be. My name is Satchinama. I'm assistant to the Preceptors College and I'm here at Adishtana. We've got the November meeting of the Public Preceptors College, the second of the year. We have one in March and one in November. And this is the first of our little audio interviews from the week. We're going to have different people in on the couch, I think the term is, at Adishtana. This morning I've got the very delightful Amogaratna with me. He's the newest member of the college, just been appointed 2 or 3 months ago. So I was wondering, Amogaratna, whether you could tell me a little bit about your life in Berlin and Tree Ratna in Berlin. I know that's where you've been living for, what, 20 years or so?
Yeah, nice to be here. Hello everybody out there. Well, I've been living in Berlin for 16 years. And 13 of which I've been chair. So the next year I'm 60. I'm going to be 60 years old. And I realised a couple of years ago that that's probably enough of being a chair. So I'm planning on handing on in the end of February next year.
That's to Arya Bandu.
Yes, Arya Bandu. The delightful Arya Bandu has agreed to take over being chair. and yeah, 13 years I'll have been chair. My life consists, above all, being chair of the Buddhist Gate Berlin, as it's referred to.
So why do you call it the Buddhist Gate? That's an interesting phrase to...
The story is, when Anumarati and Dayaraja started the first Tree Ratna Centre, the Buddhist Centre Berlin, the name, was already taken by a different group. So they came up with this rather clever name, Buddhistisches Tor Berlin, which is, in a sense, there's a lot of gates around Berlin,
above all
the most famous Brandenburg Gate. Yeah, and it's a very good name. Sangharakshita gave a talk at the opening on the meaning of the Buddhist Gate Berlin, which is available as a booklet in German and English. Yeah, in which he talks about a Buddhist centre being a door or a gate to the Sangha, the Dharma and the Buddha that one goes into and then takes out. Then one goes out again into the world with whatever one has picked up, in whatever one is caught, so to speak.
And so this, the Buddhist Gate, you're in Kreuzberg, is it?
We're in Kreuzberg. We've opened a new centre 3 years ago, just about 3 years ago. Or is it four? I've lost track of time. Quite a prestigious large centre. We're now one of the large Buddhist groups. You could say there's over 50 Buddhist groups in Berlin. And we're now one of the largest, probably three or four.
So the classes, what sort of size are some of the classes?
Well, the size of the classes grew as soon as we moved into our new centre. We were in a very small office space, you could say, before. And so now we have, I don't know, maybe 30 people to a Sangha evening. But we've also got now, I think, four Mitra groups and various introductory classes. We have almost all the time an ongoing introductory course. Every 8 weeks a new one begins. Level two courses, foundation course, and so on. The usual Tree Ratna mix.
And there's a men's community?
There's one men's community. That was one of the first things I did when I moved. Having lived at Pamaloka and enjoyed the challenge and the challenge and the benefits of living in a community, I was clear that I wanted to carry on living in a community, and there wasn't one at the time, so I together with an Omarati and two Mitras, who are now ordained, we formed the first Berlin men's community, Chintamani. There are now six of us living there, I think a year ago we had a new young people's community was formed. So four young people, two guys and two women, formed a new community. So yeah, we've got a thriving, a really thriving young people's group, which I'm really delighted about. It's the it really has brought a freshness and a liveliness to the centre. And it's given me a lot of optimism about the future of the centre. Like most Sri Ratna centres, there's a lot of grey-haired elderly folk around, especially wearing cases. But yeah, for the future, I see. Yeah, the young people's group is thriving.
So you live in the community. Presumably, you do quite a bit of teaching yourself or leading classes, or
I don't do as much as I'd like to because there's a lot of administration and the usual stuff that goes along with running a centre.
But you're also having to earn a bit of a living. You teach.
Teach English. so the centre gives me half support. I've got a couple of people who support me privately a little. And then, teach English. And the English teaching, I do enjoy it. It's a connection with, if you like, non-Buddhist Germans.
Right.
Because being an Englishman in Germany, I don't particularly just want to be in touch with Sri Ratna Buddhists. So it's quite fun having a meeting non-Buddhists.
But yeah, and your German, though, is pretty fluent, is it? You can teach in German?
I do everything in German. Whether it's pretty fluent or not.
Yeah.
I mean, some people would say it is, some people would say it isn't.
So I was wondering if you could just tell us the story about how you arrived or how you came to live in Berlin. I know something happened on your ordination course.
The story about how I came to break out of Britain. I was ordained in 1997, and at the time in the order there was a kind of campaign called Break Out of Britain. There was I don't know, would it have been the Preceptors College? But anyway, there was Sona and certain public preceptors were trying to encourage people to start new centres outside of Britain. And so on our ordination course, during the first week after the ordinations, Sona gave a series of talks, one of which he encouraged every order member, every new order member, within 2 years to go and move overseas and start a new Sri Ratna Centre. Which, we were all enthusiastic and probably very naive and inspired. So there was a lot of talk and enthusiasm. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to set up centres? And in my mind, I'd written off Berlin because even though I'd never been to Germany, didn't even know really where Berlin was. I'd sort of imagined it as a quite trendy young people's city.
Yeah.
And I was 40, so it didn't seem to appeal to me. And I was toying with the idea of maybe Austria or South Germany. For some reason, I'd got this idea that they would be more appropriate. Anyway, a couple of days afterwards, I woke up and I knew, I don't know how, but I knew, something in me knew that I was going to move to Berlin. So being of a kind of sceptical nature in terms of my intuitions and so on, I did check out Berlin for the next couple of years, started learning German, visited I think 4 times or 5 times and then finally moved in 2000.
So is a Nomarati already there?
A Nomarati and Dhyaraja, Jayaprabha and Aryadeva were already there. Yeah. So it didn't seem... yeah, I was just going to support an existing situation, really. Mm. They'd opened the centre 2 years previously in 98.
So the breakout of Britain thing, is that something that you'd like to see happen? Or maybe even break out of Germany for some of the German... you know, do you think we're doing enough of that, of getting out and forming new centres and enough of that adventurous spirit?
Well, I certainly think... well, the Triratna as a movement will benefit from more and more centres. That's quite clear, I think. The world needs the Dharma. Mm. For me personally, going to live in a new country, a new culture, learning a new language has been, and taking the responsibility, because that was something that, yeah, I hadn't expected to become chair. I ended up becoming chair in 2003 because there was nobody else to do it. But all that combination of a new centre, taking on that responsibility in a new culture, has been the most effective spiritual practice I know of.
Just because it's stretched you in ways
that
you wouldn't have been stretched otherwise?
Exactly. I've had to grow into responsibility. I'm not a natural leader, I'm not a natural outgoing person or anything like that. So, but it's the best thing I've ever done.
Right. So no regrets at all?
Never any regrets. It just all feels so right. And I've had quite a lot of feedback from friends, people who know me very well, that I have, you know, I've grown in that time.
So I saw Arya Bandhu here at the weekend. He was on the National Order weekend, and he said that you were planning on dying in Berlin. Is that so cool?
Yeah, it's a funny old thing, but a couple of years after I'd moved to Berlin, so coming over to Britain for order weekends or whatever I was doing, one day I was going back to Berlin, it just felt I'm going to die in Berlin. It just felt this is my last station, because I've moved around a lot in my life. I think I counted recently, I've had about 25 different addresses.
Right.
Only two of which have been in Berlin.
Yeah.
So it's feels right that I'm going
to. Yeah. So this is, in a way, you're coming up to the end of a particular phase, aren't you? Handing on the chairmanship after, 12 or 13 years, and then joining the college. So sort of end of a chapter of your life. What are you imagining for this new chapter? Do you have any sense of what being a college member is? I mean, you're going to be the first college member living in mainland Europe outside of the Latin world, isn't there? There's Paramachita and Moksananda in Spain, but they're more involved with Mexico and the Spanish-speaking world over there. So you're the first...
Well, yes and no, because Vajragita was also... before she died, I think last year, 2 years ago, she was living in mainland Europe. Yeah, I am currently the only public preceptor living in the mainland area. No, the mainland European area, and I've got no idea what that's going to mean.
Yeah. Presumably, it means letting go of some more immediate responsibilities for the for Berlin.
Yeah, I should. I've committed myself to staying in Berlin to, as much as I can, to support Arya Bandhu and the situation there. But I imagine I'll be travelling around more. But yeah, I've got no idea what it's going to involve. Financially, it's all unclear.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, to what extent the Berlin Centre carries on supporting me. I mean, he's going to have to support Arya Bandhu as well. So, So it's all up in the air.
Right.
But I quite enjoy those situations. Yeah. It doesn't worry me at all.
And with Brexit coming up, I mean, are you going to be able to remain in Berlin? Do you have a German passport, or do you have a right of residency there?
I haven't explored that too much. I rather naively keep hoping that it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I will explore it. I mean, I've heard that the German government is very sympathetic at the moment and offering dual citizenship, which is quite unusual for Germany, to British expats who've lived in the country for a while. So I should have certainly explored it. I've got no idea what it will mean. I don't think anybody has, probably. Governments on either side don't know either.
Okay, well, thanks very much for coming and introducing yourself and saying a bit about the situation. But I really wish you well for your new life in the college and for what unfolds for you in Berlin over the coming years. I'm Ogur Ratner. Personally, I look forward to seeing you here on future college meetings too.
Thank you. And everybody who's listening to this are very welcome to come and visit in Berlin.
Good. I'll come at some point, yeah.